The Truth News Network. In a time when the world is a dangerous place and facts are hard to come by, here's one refuge where only the truth resides. TNN,
the Truth News Network.
And here's your guardian angel, Dan Newman.
Not so much your guardian angel today, but what I am going to do is lead a conversation. You know, here normally we tackle the negatives and the ridiculousness that come from the muck in Washington, D.C. and American politics. And when we do that, we're doing so at the expense of some of the most caustic, bombastic, and self-centered Americans in politics. And got to be honest with you, most of them have no real concept of what nationalism and the rule of law really are, yet alone law in the United States from the Constitution. But today, we're going down a different road. If it's okay with you, we're not even going to talk about politics. We're today just going to have a conversation about real life. Now, I'm not an expert. I am 65. I have a 44-year marriage. I have three children, six grandchildren, a bunch of friends, and a lot of people that work in a company that I established 26 years ago that get along with me pretty well. But I am no means an expert at life. But you know what? You don't have to be an expert to talk about life. Everybody lives it. We all have some things in common. I mean, we breathe. That's a starting place if it's nothing else. And we need to interact about things that aren't necessarily so big in stature and that everyone wants to talk about, but are just as real to everyone that we talk to as they are to us. Those instances in life in which we find ourselves alone can sometimes result in a feeling of loneliness. You know, there's no worse feeling than to find yourself alone. Now, there are different types of alone, and we're going to get into that. But just to start this off, look back, think back with me just for a moment. You've experienced it. Maybe it was when you were a soldier in Vietnam. You were part of a platoon on a combat mission. You find yourself separated from a unit, your unit. Or maybe you're a single mom, or your mom was a single mom. And daily you face or your mom face choices of not eating yourself just to be able to feed your babies. Being alone is usually very frightening. Loneliness, as a result of being alone a lot, happens. Sometimes it's complex and usually very unpleasant. It brings along emotional responses to isolation that you really don't like. Loneliness typically includes anxious feelings about a lack of connection or communication with others. You know, I know single moms who have babies, and so they're with people all the time, but they become extremely lonely and really fight bad feelings of loneliness, even though they're with children all the time. Research has shown that loneliness is common throughout our society, including even those in marriages, relationships, families, veterans, and those with successful careers. That's not any of it a panacea for loneliness. It's been a long explored theme in literature. And I mean, classic antiquity, stories from way, way, way back, centuries ago, people talk about loneliness. Loneliness has always been described as social pain, a psychological function that tries to motivate an individual to seek social connections. Let's face it, when a person finds himself alone, especially for quite a while they've been alone, and with few or no connections with others, the results of that are very seldom positive. And often that loneliness morphs into becoming really unpleasant in its results. Here's a thought. Are those who seem to have everything going their way, like a great family, a good job, wide circle of wonderful friends, ever susceptible to loneliness, or are they exempt? Let me tell you about a gentleman I met a couple of years ago. His name is Gustavo Paez. Gustavo is the pastor of a large and thriving church in Central America. Now, this is going to seem kind of strange. He's an evangelist, a prophet. His congregation is large and growing rapidly every day. And here's the thing that brought him to the United States, where I met him. He's an evangelist and a prophet in great demand throughout the world, but especially here in the United States. We could go all day and let me give you stories about Gustavo Páez. But as great a minister, as pastor as he is, and he is a greater husband and father than a minister, but he too battles loneliness. I was with him yesterday in the midst of a meeting with hundreds of Americans who were each hanging on his every word. He speaks some of the most amazing prophetic words, and I don't want to get into the religious piece of this right now, but let me just tell you this. He's one of those guys. He's a real spiritual prophet, a godly prophet, and he hits a home run every time. I've been with him a bunch, and I've never heard him miss. He speaks with knowledge of how tough life can and often is, and also how to beat the foes of simply being human and fighting for survival each and every day. Pretty much everybody relates to his message because it's what we deal with. Yet late in his message yesterday, he stated this, and I'm quoting him, "Sometimes when I speak to thousands of people and see dramatic changes and results in their lives from what I'm able to share with them, I find myself, even though they hang on every word and shout and applaud and want to know more and more and more, I sometimes find myself later alone in my hotel room wishing I could just have a hug." We see and read story after story about famous folks who end up dying alone, victims of self-inflicted drug overdoses or other types of suicide. And I mean, every one of them is tragic. But we're not speaking today about that type of loneliness. We're talking about situations in which people get stuck and that those situations come directly from dire and uncontrollable circumstances in which they have no or very little responsibility. But even though they're not the ones that made it happen, they're the subjects of it, and they have to live with it. Let me explain, and stay with me here. I wrote a column in my college newspaper, The Tech Talk. I think the best one I wrote in my years there was titled Alone, All Alone. I think it was in 1974 it was published. Why was it so good? Well, I had a lot of people tell me that. I'm not patting myself on the back. Certainly not because of the writer. Believe me, it was so right on and representative of those situations of being alone that are not those that are the direct results of our actions. Maybe they're the result of something somebody else did or didn't do. In my case, and you're going to have to bear with me a minute, I'm going to share some personal circumstances and part of my life story. In this, it came as a result of the nasty divorce of my parents and the quick and horrible results for me that came directly from that. Let me give you the 10,000 foot perspective. Just to build the basis of this specific perspective today of loneliness. I was 16 years old at the time. Now, this is going to be short. This is going to be brief. We lived in a small town in South Louisiana. My dad was a pastor of a little bitty church. Couldn't pay him a full-time salary, so what did he do? As a lot of pastors of small churches do, he had a full-time job. He worked in construction, and the job that he went to every day was about 45 miles away. He commuted every day. Times were pretty tough for the Newman family financially. But from a kid's perspective, mine, things were okay. Until December 22nd, 1969, 3 days before Christmas, my dad left. I'd listened over the past months late at night to Mom and Dad argue. I never saw any verbal or physical abuse of any kind in those arguments, although sometimes got kind of elevated to the point where I was two rooms down the hallway from their bedroom. I could hear everything, but it always kind of ended pretty quickly and never saw it anywhere else in our family. I never thought my dad was involved with another woman, or my father, I'm sorry, my mother, involved with anybody else. I thought the arguments came from the fact that, you know, here's a guy holding down two jobs, a church pastorate and a full-time construction job, driving to one job at 5 o'clock every Monday through Friday morning, getting home at 9 o'clock late in the evening every day, and then on the weekend pastoring a church of 50 people. Certainly, that all factored and weighed in heavily. But for whatever reason or reasons, Mom and I spent Christmas Day in 1969 all by ourselves. And things went downhill from there. In early January of 1970, Mom had a nervous breakdown. And the stress for a 16-year-old kid was unbelievable. I thought I was really strong, but I couldn't handle it. I had to get out. So I left home and moved back to the town I'd grown up in, 50 miles away, and lived in a friend's garage apartment in that town that I'd grown up in, and finished my junior year in high school there. And while I was living in that garage apartment that I rented for $100 a month, I worked part-time at a radio station to be able to pay the bills. Now, keep in mind, I'm 16 years old. But that spring of 1970, things changed dramatically. And that's another story worth of not just in a Truth News Network column, but probably a book. We'll share that story a little bit later, or at least parts of it. But the next fall found me as a freshman at Louisiana Tech University, the home of the Tech Talk, where I wrote that column. And that university's in Ruston, Louisiana. You probably remember athletically there, a whole bunch of great athlete football players came out of. That's where Terry Bradshaw was from. Couple of NFL All-Pro football players there too, like Fred Dean and some other guys that are amazing, were All-Pro NFL players. In that 20 months between Christmas 1969 and late August 1971, I discovered what real non-self-inflicted loneliness is all about. I'll say this, God miraculously intervened in my life in that interim. That story would have probably ended tragically if he hadn't done so. In fact, circumstances turned out to be amazing for me. And those circumstances kept me alive and moving forward every day, even as a kid. But what those wonderful things that happened could not do was change the fact I lost my family. And I lost it as a direct result of decisions made by two other people in which I had no input in to their decision, that changed the course of my lifetime. It stopped. Everything that had been building in my life for the first 16 years, it just in one day was gone. And that's not even mentioning the relationships I had with my mom and father personally were permanently altered by their decision. I found myself on a university campus in Ruston, Louisiana, having no idea what life ahead could possibly be. And folks, I was alone. Now, I'm not complaining, and the story ends up pretty good. We'll finish it up, and I'll give you some information, not advice, but some information right after this from Truth News Network.
From Krakow to Grand Island, Milan to Hanoi, this is TNN, the Truth News Network.
Hi, Tom Baudet. Of all the things invented in 1962, some have faded away, like cassette tapes, and others are still very much with us, like lava lamps and Motel 6. Yep, Motel 6 is celebrating 50 years of giving travelers a good night's rest and saving you more for what you travel for. But we're just getting started. In fact, the longer you watch us, the better we get. Kind of like a lava lamp. Trippy. I'm Tom Baudet for Motel 6. 50 years and the light's still on.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Julie, hey, guess what day it is?
Oh, come on, I know you can hear me. Mike, what day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-woo!
Ronnie, how happy are folks who save hundreds of dollars switching to Geico?
I'd say happier than a camel on Wednesday.
Hump day!
Get happy. Yeah. Get Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
In a world where truth is in short supply, you have an abundance of it right here. TNN,
the Truth News Network.
We left off when I told you I was a freshman at Louisiana Tech University. And, you know, things were kind of bad. They really were. For most of the almost 2 years since that divorce and my finding myself at Louisiana Tech happened, I tried my best just to make it. I was just a kid, folks. I was 16, turned 17. I had no idea what life objectives even look like. Moms and dads, especially when their kids get in high school, usually give those children some life templates from which to choose about this time. Although, you know, it's not always, hey, here's plan A, here's plan B, here's plan C, make your pick. But at least they give us some ideas. I simply struggled to put the pieces of life together that I found each day in my life as they popped up. Thankfully, God put people in my life that were there for me. Wow, I don't know what I would have done without it. Things would probably have gone unimaginably wrong without those people. Yet that emptiness and that hollowness that resulted from my loneliness showed up in some way pretty much every day. And I had to deal with it every day. Not dealing with it is the worst thing you can do. I guess my youth, my already present entrepreneurial spirit, and I've been an entrepreneur my whole life, and the love of an unofficially adopted family factored heavily in keeping me on the road toward successful real life. And even though loneliness sometimes is still there, doesn't dominate my life. And when it shows up, I know how to put it away. Thank God. And things turned out really good for me. I've had 65 pretty darn good years. Have a great immediate family and a wonderful extended family. But in all that, I've never been able to totally abandon that dark, hollow, achy, and gut-wrenching feeling of loneliness, especially as it hit home for the first time on that day in 1969, 3 days before Christmas, about 8 o'clock in the morning. So what's it all about? Well, people are simply not made to be alone, period. Human beings are social beings. And even though social experimentation being what it is, people attempt the manufacturing of social scenarios in which Superman doesn't need Superwoman or super kids or super friends or anyone at all. That all I need is me to live a happy, fulfilled, and contented life. That doesn't work, folks. People need people. In summary, I'm not a shrink. I don't have any psychological or psychiatric expertise or any kind of training. So I'm not giving you medical or professional advice. We're not on that plane. We're not doing that today. I'm not trying to give anybody advice at all, or at least advice to do anything specific in or because of life circumstances. I'm simply pointing out that sometimes life just isn't fair. Sometimes we find ourselves in circumstances not of our own doing, that are horrendous and that come with loneliness just being a great part of it. When I say great, I mean big part. What I am also saying is that when this loneliness pops up in our lives and our heads, we got to find ways to get through them. And we can. We really can. This is normally the spot when a journalist would make some monumental and impactful suggestions to you, like, here are 5 sure ways to guarantee you'll never be lonely, or do you want to know how to always be fulfilled and happy? I'm not going to do that today. Why? I don't think there's a magic prescription or pill that takes care of that and anything else. There certainly are people, though, who maintain there are such panaceas for loneliness that comes from just being alone. I don't know about that. I don't know about them. But what I will say and what I do know is this. Being alone is not fun. When it comes from bad circumstances that one inherits from decisions not their own or were not based on their own selfish motives, especially in those circumstances. But it's not the kiss of death either. Finding oneself alone and its resulting loneliness and staying there often result in despair. And despair often initiates drastic measures. Isn't it ironic, though, that when someone, as a result of loneliness and resulting despair from loneliness, commits suicide, or even worse, kills someone else, how many people really care that show up in the aftermath? They weren't there before, but they're there after. That happens a lot. What if those who enter the picture at a wake or at a funeral, who weep for the deceased and cry, "If only I had known," had been around or been involved and been an initiator of helping that person when alive to work through their loneliness? What about that? A suggestion? Be open to everybody in your life. If they're in your life, they're there for a purpose. Be open to them. Keep the lines of communication open. Make certain all of those you care for understand that they can speak to you about anything, and that when they do, there's a certainty. They know for a fact there's going to be no chastisement, no disdain on your part, for they're simply sharing the causes of their feelings of loneliness and its results with you. They're reaching out. Give them a chance to reach out. Most of the time, doing so is going to cost you something. Sometimes doing so is even going to hurt. It's timely. You know, it's not a pleasant thing to hear how desperate someone else is usually, and it's probably going to hurt deeply in those cases. But there's a truth that makes the process pretty clear, and it's best revealed in the title of a song, "My Brother." My adopted brother, you know, that family I told you about that took me in 50 years ago, my adopted brother wrote a song a long time ago. And it's very fitting here. Title of it is, "Anything Worth Having is Worth Hurting For." There's a price to pay. Are you really willing to pay the price? Truer words have never been spoken, folks. Why not give it a try? It'll probably work. And if it doesn't work, you've given it your best. You don't have any reason for any regrets. If your trying doesn't save a life, it'll probably make someone's life a whole lot better. It did for me. And at 65, it was a great formula for getting through life. I hope you'll forgive me for abandoning politics and the vitriol and venom that we talk about here almost every day. Sometimes you got to agree with me. It gets a little crazy, and we end up with a bad taste in our mouth. You know how it is when you eat something you thought was going to be sweet and it's bitter. Politics certainly not sweet. And this topic, loneliness, it's becoming more and more evident throughout our nation and the world. And there are people that need to know. There are people like you and me. They really give a rip. Hey, thanks for joining us here today. We'll get back to politics. Don't know if we'll do it tomorrow. We probably will, since we hadn't spoken about that in several days. But whatever. You'll always get a piece of truth. A tidbit sometimes, but always truth, when you come here to Truth News Network. Thank you so much for being here today. We'll be back pretty quick. Till then, have a great day. So long, everybody.
From McAllen, Texas to Berlin, Germany, the universal language is truth on TNN,
the Truth News Network.